Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We are back, huh, baby? Hey!
Oh my God, we're so back. 100. That's slang.
Cute. Well, that song didn't play. We're going to play Back in Black right there.
Yeah, we actually bought the rights to it.
Yeah, that was a lot of money for it just not to work. I pushed the button, and it just didn't play.
But we still had to give them $30,000.
That was a lot of money, and I'm going to be paying for that for a while. But imagine it played right there.
We have to do it at the same time.
Oh, sorry. No, and I've heard a lot of versions where the guitar interrupts the drums.
Where Angus Young just goes fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning.
Just right at the beginning.
It's my part now.
I'm the schoolboy and look at me dance.
It's my part.
We had a hiatus. Not on purpose. We're back.
Hiatus makes it sound like we had any kind of schedule out beforehand.
Exactly. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
Made it seem like something caused it.
Right. Well, something did cause it, though.
Gainful employment? Why am I asking about myself? Yeah. Things happened, and then, but we're back, and hopefully whoever's listening's happy.
Yeah, they better be, because they're bitching on Twitter 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you don't hear anything when you're doing it.
Yeah.
You stop doing it, oh, yeah. Yeah. You hear a lot of bitching.
Yeah. It's just like with YouTube comments. No one ever says, hey, I'm just chiming in to say, keep up the good work.
To say, understandably, you're not the best, but you're certainly not the worst.
I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start leaving comments. I enjoy what you're doing. If you ever stop, you will feel my wrath. I'm going to start leaving that.
Maybe you're not comfortable talking about it, but I thought you were going to talk about one of the main reasons that we weren't doing the podcast for a while is because...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your mom passed away.
Yeah, that happened during it. And I had to go home for a while. So then that extended our hiatus for sure. And then I stayed home for way too long and then got sick. But like you, the funeral was fun and man, did I kill it.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
It was just, I don't know how you're supposed to invite people to those things, you know? Because all my sister and I do is mention things on Facebook
if there's a formal way to do it?
Yeah. So then I just called the papers, all the papers at the last minute. Because I know local Missoula, Montana papermen, and they put in last minute obituaries. And so all these mostly women, people that worked with my mom and old friends of hers saw it and showed up, and some of them spoke, and they were great. And they told hilarious stories and talked about how funny she was in a way that's different from, like, I always give all the credit to my dad for comedy and art and things that I got interested in. Yeah. And then I'm listening to all these stories and I realize she did weird, quirky things and let people feel uncomfortable to get a laugh in a way that
I forgot. Can you remember one of the stories?
Oh, I mean... public things, she would do. I don't have one right now, but she would.
Like, were there any stories that you heard that people told that you had never heard before or that you were like, oh, I had no idea my mom did that?
Yeah, just how much she was out dancing with some lady that used to work with her. She was like, I'm like, is that where she was? She was partying and dancing. And she just said she would was really good at making fun of people, which I didn't know. I just don't remember that of her.
And like this, when they were out at night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this lady had great stories. All these people that were speaking at the memorial were like good speakers, and that's not their job.
Yeah.
They held it together. They had great jokes. And then of course, it was at a church, and the pastor was, everyone was singing church hymns right away, which that isn't from my life, and I don't know the words. No one did. He just was realizing as we were all mumbling through and trying to be polite that there was, they need to have a little ball bouncing over the lyrics.
Over the lyrics up above the big crucifix?
Yeah. It was, there's a screen. And, yeah, a giant crucifix, that always makes me nervous. It's just weird to have the logo of the place where he died.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, never forget. They're a big never forget type of group.
Always remember to never forget.
To never forget about where he died.
And then once everyone was, and my dad spoke and talked, everyone talked about different eras. That's what it was. It was, I was not with my mom at work, so I didn't know she was a cut-up in the office.
Right.
And I wasn't there before I was born, believe it or not.
What?
I know. I was there in spirit. but my dad talked about early, you know, things she did, marching for the rights of telephone industry workers and things like that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like union stuff?
Union stuff.
Yeah.
And just standing up for those marginalized, all that stuff. I didn't know about that. So I'm like learning about her at the memorial.
Yeah.
And it was really cool and it was fun. And all the pictures, my friend came and took photos. My friend Andrew Chemis. And everyone's just laughing in every photo. It just looks like we're watching a movie. And then so at the end, the pastor started riffing and going off book. And even though he didn't know her, he really kicked it into high gear. And
in a good way?
At your mom's memorial. Yeah, he was great.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, it got less churchy.
Great.
We were in church.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end, I didn't know. We didn't know. Do you pay? We tipped him. We'd like tip the guy.
wait, where were you?
At a church. And so when you do a memorial like that at a church, they just show up and do it, I guess. And they don't necessarily get paid there wasn't like a bill at the end.
Oh, not sure.
It's like a church service, and he said, I will do it. And so at the end, we, tipped him $250.
I don't know if the Catholic Church is the same way, because it's my family's church. They go there all the time.
Oh, okay.
They put in, I think, you know, weekly tithing or whatever. So I'm sure that I know for a fact that the Father Lombardi told us how much the piano player was and the singer was.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad did all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I also all I remember from that part was that meeting, I was completely ready to be the one that was in charge of that meeting and just be like, we're taking care of business and we're going to do this song and da-da-da, whatever. And he, which I know I told you already, but the priest at St. Vincent's Church in Petaluma, which is where we've gone my whole life, but he's new. We grew up with priests that were very odd and distant and just these people that could really, they talk like this and you're just kind of scared of them. And this guy, Father Lombardi, is the loveliest man and lots of people have him over for dinner and mm-hmm. he's really a part of the community and he's great. And in that meeting, he said these things that were like so healing in that way where it was like, we started talking about it. My dad got choked up. Then I got choked. Now I'm getting choked up. Mm-hmm. And I got choked up. And then he was like, I think I told you this, but it was like the tears are about unexpressed love because you'll always love that person. It was just like, it was the most therapeutic experience in a Catholic church where I was just like, I've washed my hands of that whole business of like, they can't help me anymore. Those people from Vatican II, they don't know any shit.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
So many people have done that. And it makes, but it is, it was a similar experience for me too. And the guy that had been there that was that type of, I guess, pastor.
Yeah. What kind of church? Episcopalian?
His funeral was earlier that day. The man that had married my mom and dad.
So like the original guy?
Mm-hmm. Wow. We had no idea.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That had just been hours before. We didn't, that just was a coincidence. Yeah, it was kind of cool. But, so this was a new guy too.
Yeah.
These new kids in the church, but they're...
They know they have a lot to make up for, and they're really trying to do it. It's supposed to help people. Like, it's supposed to help you live your life. It's not supposed to be, like, what it usually is for people, which is, like, just a constant bummer.
Yeah, and it's... I was worried it would start that way, because I get intimidated by church hymns, but then it was. It was a fun... It was a fun time.
Well, they're all dirges. It's all like... It's awful.
Yeah.
It's the way they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the priest, priest impression I did earlier.
It's very Gregorian chanty.
Yes, but not with the cool remix
like,
music.
Like Enigma.
Yes, which is what I love. You know how much I love Enigma.
Enigma. Sorry. There, that's what it was. Chamois.
Chamois?
Chamois, early it's on.
That's why he named it that. He was doing rails, listening to Enigma, and he was like, yeah.
For some reason, the guy from Jamiroquai was there.
Yeah, with his hat and no shirt.
That guy who... I think was not just the pitch man for ShamWow. Maybe he was. But I thought the inventor also.
Yeah.
Is sort of interested in stand-up, or did it at one point. And then of all the clashing of my worlds possible, there was an ad for his comedy tour after some prostitute had punched his face. Remember he had been the ShamWow guy.
He was in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and then he got into comedy right then. And there was an ad for it in Thrasher Skateboarding magazine. And I was like, this is too many things slamming into each other.
They knew all the skateboarders would love how dumb that was and would go because it was...
Yeah, it's this dude. He was just as vaguely interested in skateboarding at one point as comedy, so he thought he'd make all his dreams come true and spend the last of his ShamWow bucks on a comedy tour ad in Skateboarder.
Do you think that his opener is about the ShamWow?
I bet his whole act.
Yeah.
And then he closes with the detailed story of what happened with that prostitute.
Of his
biting
version.
His lip. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's time to hear my side of it.
Yeah, everybody's always on the beaten up prostitute side. But how about the ShamWow guy side?
Exactly.
Closer. It's funny that he would get into comedy because he looks like so many guys that have waited tables at comedy clubs.
Yeah.
With the gelled up hair and really skinny, little speedy.
He does. He looks like a Flapper's employee.
I love Flappers.
I do too. I like just 20s themed things.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. You know me.
You love to run illegal liquor around the mountains.
Every day in, day out, Zoot Suit Riot.
Is that 20s?
Pour me a bottle of beer. No, I think it's early 90s, but it was an homage. An homage to the roaring. Were the 20s roaring?
Yeah.
Yeah. 30s were like,
30s
all right,
were depressed.
Let's slow down, every guy and gal and dame. Let's get slow down those gams.
Quit knocking those knees.
Started on the 40s. Ugh.
What? Why?
Oh, potatoes, the famine that some, the Model T wasn't operating correctly. I haven't done a lot of research.
Yeah. We're going to have to get you a computer.
I would love one.
Would you love a computer?
I want a Commodore 64.
That's how you get all the information about the 20s.
So where did you go on your tour?
I was.
Mm-hmm.
In this last 10 days, I've been in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've been in New York City, New York, mm-hmm. and I've been in Portland, Oregon.
Those are, I love two of those places.
but it wasn't all for, we did live My Favorite Murder podcast in Portland, which was great.
Yeah.
And fun.
Did you do that at the Curious Comedy Theater?
No. No. We did it at Revolution Hall.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But my friend Stacey Halal, who runs the Curious Comedy Theater, who is friends with Chris also, who doesn't listen to this. I was going to say hi to her, but she doesn't. She's not a podcast person.
She's busy.
She's running a fucking theater. But, yeah, she was around. We hung out. And just, you know, Portland is the easiest place to be in. You walk around, you kind of like shop, and you're in moisture, and then you, wherever you land, they're going to serve you like a waffle with sausage on it at 8 o'clock at night, or whatever weird, delicious thing you might secretly want and not be able to admit. They're like, we have a whole store of that.
Just an illustrated arm will extend and hand it to you.
Beep, boop, boop, like Monty Python style. And just like, what do you want? Do you want a nerd's rope, or do you want a cocktail with a nerd's rope in it? I don't know. I'm very tired from that.
Yeah, you were sick. I was sick. Everyone's sick.
Yeah.
All sick. Maybe the rain in Portland was part of the cause.
Could be part of the cause. Yeah. Could be. It could have just kind of cleared some stuff out. And that's how it felt. It felt very clean.
In Tulsa, you were at a comedy club?
In Tulsa, Julian McCullough was headlining a casino.
I like him.
He's the greatest. An hour outside of Tulsa. I can't remember the name of the casino, but the girl who runs that room is named Lacey, and she runs this awesome room. It's separate from the casino. Closed doors. You wouldn't even know it was there. The people that are in there know what they're there for comedy. They know how to be in a comedy room. It was great, super fun. And then afterwards we did his podcast, Julian Loves Music.
Fun. That would be. The one time I met our friend Henry in Tulsa, I was just hired to feature, and he was the headliner, and we became immediate friends. But one of the nights, the Tulsa Comedy Club owner, instead of hanging out at the club, went and saw Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Foxworthy, and had a few too many, and came back to the club, and Henry was on stage, and he got on stage and did a little dance, and then pulled his pants down and showed his ass and the bard of his balls to the whole audience.
What
and then
are you saying?
He got on stage and he mooned the audience. The owner of the club mooned the audience.
Because he was feeling so good from that blue-collar comedy tour?
He hadn't been inspired by comedy at his own club for a while.
Yeah.
So he went out and he's like, I'm going to take some of this good feeling back to my house.
And do comedy the way comedy is meant to be done.
With your balls out.
Pants down, balls out.
Facing the opposite direction.
No. So long balls.
Yeah. why the long balls? I asked. And Henry was just like, Henry said, well, normally if this kind of thing happens, you usually get the owner of the club and have them removed from the building. But in this case, that is the owner. So everyone, I can't remember his name. That guy passed away, though. I'm just saying it always comes, just life just kind of comes.
It always comes back around to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
It really does. Inevitably.
It is going to, by the way.
Yeah, to all of you. Sorry.
You, not us.
If you haven't thought about your mortality today, welcome.
Hello. We had a girl get on stage during our podcast. At the end, we ask people, we have a thing on our podcast called the Hometown Murders, where people email us and say, this is this horrible thing that happened in my town, or this is the thing that got me interested in true crime. And so at the live shows, we just bring the lights up and I just pick a person purely by psychic connection.
Oh, yeah. You're good at that John Edwards stuff.
I am, right? Mm-hmm. I put on that white wig, that white curly wig. That's not John Edwards, but I picked this girl, and she was telling the best fucking story about her cousin who found a dead body in a river, and the dead body turned out to be this rapist killer, and it was this whole story, and I was freaking out the whole time, and at one point near the end of the story, I was like, did your cousin tell you, like, firsthand what it was like to find a body, because that's my obsession, always has been, and like whatever. And she was like, not really, I don't know. And then I look over, and George is facing me, and behind her, she can't see, there's a girl sneaking cartoon style, like doot, 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 like her shoulders are up, and she's her knees, she was picking up her knees really high as she walked. And
was she hunting rabbits?
I figured she was shit-faced drunk.
Yeah.
And I see her doing it, and I'm like, that's weird. But I thought maybe she was a drunk girl trying to get back to her seat without, like, disturbing. And then she does, like, an army roll onto the stage. And I immediately transition into just fucking, like, bitch mom mode. And I walk over, and I'm like, that is not cool. You have to get off the stage. And I, like, go over to get her. And then she's like, no, 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 I'm her sister. I have the answers to your questions.
Oh, wow.
And then the girl telling the story goes, oh, no, yeah, that's my sister. And I was like, oh, you could have said something.
Yeah, what's with your relationship? Was she always tiptoeing around being in the limelight?
She basically was like, I just know that he didn't tell her, but he told me, and then started describing what he told her about finding the body. So
oh,
it was like
wow.
exactly the information I wanted. It was very funny. The whole thing turned out to be, it was amazing, and then it was really scary, and then it was hilarious.
Wow. And that was just, do you do that a lot? Where have you done that before and people have good stories?
Yeah, we do it every time.
Oh, that's great.
And people almost, like, I would say 95% of the time, people have the best story.
Wow.
Yeah. Because everybody has a story. The people that are really, like,
I suppose I have one, yeah.
Well, there's lots of people, the people that raise their hand in a very specific way, usually have a story where it's like, my grandfather was a serial killer, or my mom dated so-and-so, like Ted Bundy or whatever. So it's really fascinating, because everybody has, there's different kind of degrees, and oftentimes we get, like, that girl telling the story about her cousin finding a dead body, and the dead body turning into being the worst guy, and then she knew his crime, and the two girls that he attacked survived, and da-da-da-da, you know, it was amazing. It was just
What's
like,
it part of their story, how he ended up being dead?
They didn't know, because he was on the lam. After he attacked these two girls, they got away. He ran. They got help. He ran. And that was the last anyone saw of him. 5 years later, his dead body is found.
Wow.
In this creek bed. Yeah. It was crazy.
On Facebook, a guy that I actually met in Tulsa during that trip, a guy, he's...
during long balls?
Yeah, during the long ball tour. This guy, he's like a military guy. And I don't have a lot in common with him politically, but we've stayed in touch since then, just on Facebook. But he skateboarded also, and we went skating, and showed up at the park, and this kid was holding his earbuds wrapped around his ears and got caught in his bike and pulled off his ear, and this guy was holding his ear so calmly.
A whole ear?
His outer ear
was
in his hand, and he's like, nah, I suppose they can sew it on. He was like just the toughest kid ever, and I was like,
how old?
Yeah, the teenager.
No.
With his ear in his hand.
No.
And so that was something that I saw with this guy, but Ed, his name, we're online friends. He voted for Trump, and he's my buddy. He found, though, on the side of the road, a nice bike, like a road bike, fully with survival, like with tools and food that were weeks old, and was just on the side of the road. And he had pictures. He's like, look at what I found. This guy was prepared for something. And I'm like commenting, like, this is a episode of Forensic Files.
Yes.
You have to. And he did go to the sheriff and everything.
Oh, good.
But they can't find out what this bike was doing there, and it had been there a long time, but there's just pictures of it, and he laid out everything that had been found with it, and it just gave me the creeps. It's like, you never know why someone just disappears.
The more I do this podcast and the more things we read, because now we're reading stuff, of course, all the time, it really bad things happen all the time. I mean, a lot. And the disappearing and people just being like, and then they were gone. And then police are so, you know, they have so many other cases, and they have to, you know, like, they start looking into it, but there's only a certain amount of time, and then more hideous stuff happens, and they have to go take care of that. It's just, it's such a crazy, overwhelming kind of realization.
I
was thinking about that the other day. I was like, this. Someone said, oh, how much longer can you do that podcast? Because you're going to do, like, all the murders.
All the murders.
It's just like, are you high? There's an endless amount. It never stops.
Yeah. That is a weird... that person didn't actually think that, did they?
I wonder if they
thought... That they know of.
They were thinking, like, the big league...
Sure, sure.
...guys.
The pros.
The ones that have really established themselves in the murder community.
That were good at marketing.
Right.
And speaking again of Portland, there's someone from there that I follow on Twitter. I think her name's Mary Neumeier. If that's she was posting. I went down a tweeting of missing women in Portland wormhole. There was so many, and it was just one. And then I was retweeting them. I don't know if I have enough Portland people that follow me to. Help, but it's real sad because they were all within a few days. And it's just missing women. Last seen wearing the sweater, no shoes.
Young,
yeah.
Yeah, that's
They're on my Twitter if you want. I tweeted them. They're on my Twitter. I'm 70.
The same thing happened in Washington, D.C. with all those little, like, teenage black girls within, like, a certain amount of time. It's been, like, a month, let's say. There's been, like, 16 girls that have gone missing. And I did read an article that said that it was someone that had just been, like, elected into office or who just got a new job, basically making the job make all that public. Mm-hmm. So it isn't necessarily that this is suddenly happening. It's that suddenly people are being told about it. Because before, it's just like, oh, a missing child. Oh, is there no one to fight their cause? Oh, are they of color? Then it's not going to make it to the news.
Yeah, and the most horrifying version of that is, we've talked about it before, but the Night Stalker, Tales of the Night, is that his name?
There is the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez.
Sorry, not him then. Okay. I just am not remembering the name. But there is the HBO documentary about him, and they found him.
Grim Sleeper.
Grim Sleeper, yeah.
Oh, that documentary.
I don't know why I can't ever remember, because it doesn't...
It's not a catchy name.
Sleeping isn't part of it, but it was a lot of the same thing. Everyone knew these were happening. No one cared because they were poor black prostitute ladies.
Yeah. Well, also, it was because the people who were in charge of... People decided people didn't care. You know what I mean? The people at the top were like, we've decided it doesn't matter. But it wasn't like people didn't think it mattered.
Right.
People just didn't know. I mean, when I remember reading when the Grim Sleeper was arrested, and they're like, they think he's killed over, like, I think it's 40 women. I mean, it's a lot.
Not more,
he's way up there.
Yeah.
I'd never heard, as a person who is very interested in true crime and very has my eyes out for anything like that, I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
And I've lived here for 20 years. It was just happening in, like, across town. It's crazy.
I've driven over there and wondered if I was on the same street. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
I don't really want to drive by his house. I'm not that person. But I've been in that neighborhood, like, I'm lost. Where am I? And I'm like, is that the house? I think that's the house. Oh, they painted it. Yeah, I always want to see his son and wife.
Yeah.
But it was, I loved that documentary. I don't know why more people weren't talking about that instead of...
That documentary?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get very much press.
Yeah, everyone's all about the Jinx. I'm like, this is way more interesting.
I feel like that came out before the Jinx.
I do too, yeah, and it was just sitting there not getting attention.
Yep, but also it was a one-off. It wasn't, the Jinx was a series.
Oh, right.
So it had the build. I think if the Jinx was a one-off, maybe the same thing would have happened, but if you have the build.
They should chop it up and resend it out.
They should do the individual stories. That would be an amazing series.
You produce.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
But God, that's hard work. I mean, it's already hard work to do a documentary, but then basically going back and being like, let's catalog women who are marginalized, who had lives that were not ideal, who were, you know, who were, but also trying, like, making the best of their situation and just trying to fucking get food on the table.
Yeah. And if you were the person studying that, you'd have to go home and be bummed out all the time.
It would never, never stop.
You would never be happy.
That's why that character that Nick Broomfield got in his documentary, I think her name was Pam, that he drove around with, where she was the one telling him.
She was great.
She was amazing. It was the best idea to get a person that was just so awesome like that, you know? So as depressed as you were, there was also this kind of like, fuck yeah, like there's someone out there that's being a badass.
Yeah, I can't believe that guy was a lot of his just knocking. He was not afraid of anything. Just knocking on doors. Hey, guys. Just walking into apartments.
Well, as opposed to us walking around this building trying to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep not wanting to touch any doors.
We're just an older man with a gun and his sweatpants. May or may not shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy doesn't give a fuck.
No.
He will ask anybody anything. He'll go anywhere.
He's a brazen Englishman.
That's how they are.
They all are.
Because they know racist. The accents will get them out of things.
Oh, God, I got to get the English accent off my navigation. That was an annoying.
You know who you should get? It's Waze, right?
That was my Google Maps. Sorry, here I am doing one.
You do that one. You should record your own voice and do it.
I bet you can. I bet they got that option.
God, how much of a narcissist would you have to be to be your own Waze voice?
Yeah.
Barf.
That's such a great detail in a show about a narcissistic person.
Oh, I'm going to email some people that I know.
I'm here to give you ideas. You need to study all those murders.
Okay.
And the other thing.
Put it on the list. Waze voice and murders.
Yeah, yeah.
You can, I thought, if you had Waze, you can get Keith Morrison's voice. You know, that guy that he works on Dateline. And he's
really?
That really narrow-faced guy that's
until the
night. You can get that guy to give you directions.
Wow.
On okay. Waze.
Okay, I'll change it to that. I wouldn't mind having that at all.
I think it'd be hilarious.
I thought I would want Morgan Freeman when I accidentally... These ads pop up, and then you go to reduce them by pressing the tiniest ever X that your thumb will not hit. And it just ends up purchasing for a limited time a promo for London Is Falling, where it was Morgan Freeman's voice, and I always thought that would be take a lift up ahead or whatever. I thought that would be, but it was just like
Andy Dufresne didn't want to take a lift.
I guess I missed my friend. Every time I try and do him, I'm just someone from the Cleveland show, and I should stop. Because no one wants to hear me do cartoonish black voices. Nobody should.
Can I just say that in the car when you were telling me about Bob Newhart being on Tavis Smiley?
God, I love him.
My favorite, both Tavis Smiley and Bob Newhart, favorite thing you said was, I racistly believed that he wouldn't be a fan of Bob Newhart.
I don't, just because... Even more than that, he looks like he's just like an ex-football player. Because he's a big... tough-looking guy, and he loves Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
He knew. He didn't just do research. He was, like, holding up the DVD. He was riffing off things that were details from the show about the Vermont Inn, the Bob Newhart show. Or Newhart.
Newhart,
that was
just,
God, he was great, though. Yeah. It's so important for me, and I think for you, too, to see someone approaching 90. He's 88, and he's... so with it.
Yes.
And still so quick. And he was so funny. These slow builds to the most subtle delivery. I love, if you can watch that PBS Tavis Smiley interview.
Tavis
of Bob Newhart. Do it.
I'm going to.
Maybe it's an app. Maybe you have the PBS app on your Apple.
Oh, no, that got shut down, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't have that. Yeah. That went the way of the EPA.
Maybe, yeah, it's in a pile next to Medicaid. No, Medicaid's still there.
They fought for Medicaid.
Old people vote. Old people vote.
Yeah.
You can't be touching that.
Yeah, that's right.
But, he's so important. And I think a lot of people, even comics, haven't ever, like, experienced his stand-up. And he was talking about how those albums just were number one and number two. That was the best joke that he said. He said his albums were number one and number two, and then his daughter, for the longest time, and then his daughter called and said, oh, Dad, they got knocked out. The number one and number two spot are now given to Guns N' Roses. And then he said, well, at least it went to a friend. I was just on the way here. I was talking to those guys on the cell phone. He's so... And I laughed
so
hard.
On the cell phone.
Yeah, he... And he, oh, he was... It was just the best. Yeah, so Bob Newhart, he's my hero.
Yeah, he's good. But I also, I just like the... I don't know. I like the whole experience.
Oh, of like that interview of him.
Well, the thing that made me laugh is you saying, "I racistly thought," which is now my new favorite phrase, because I think people do that all the time and they get so defensive, but you're just so freely like, "I racistly thought he wouldn't like Bob Newhart."
I racistly think that Bob Newhart doesn't have a lot of large male black fans.
But you are that love like to be proved wrong.
And that's a racistly, I'm thinking that.
I know.
It's a racist thought.
Yeah. And it's just that easy. It's just that easy to.
But like you said, his interview style is playing the straight man. It is he. I love that guy too. He's. I'm a big Tavis or Tavis.
It's Tavis.
It's Tavis. I like to mix it up. You know, people like that when you do that with their names. They're like, oh, I haven't thought of it that way
yeah.
before.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see it from that angle of not my name.
I've heard you mispronounce names before. How do we say Guy Branum? I don't know.
Oh, I say it wrong every time.
I don't have any idea because of the ways I've heard it.
I used to say Branum, and I actually introduced him. It is definitely Branum.
Okay. Right.
Because, and here's how I know, on his album, I introduced him as Guy Branum on his own album.
That's so great.
And I was like, I don't know how to apologize for that.
Did he
because
to,
you're really one of my closest friends.
Did, yeah, exactly. It's just a name.
It's also
you
like...
You could call me Chris Fairchild, and I wouldn't say, oh, it's all over. But if you called me Craig...
Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah.
No.
That's when these white fists of rage swing. Yeah. Did he then riff on that, or did he just leave it in his... Or did you
I think he said something about it. I can't remember. But I have that very stubborn thing, which I think you're like, too. If I read something, I read it in my hand a certain way. That's how it is.
Yeah.
So the change is such a large adjustment because it's like, that's I've read it that way. That means that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced.
Right, yeah. No, it's because you're a reader.
I'm a big reader. I can read.
When I did Premium Blend, D.L. Hughley... I think that's how you say his name, was drunk. He was drinking and hosting all the, you know, it was just like a day of multiple sets, excuse me. And he said, Chris, I don't know what, something happened, but he said my name wrong. And then some lady got on stage and like tried to kiss him and they had to get her off stage. But I just, while all that was happening, I just walked out to the mic because my name had been called. And they were like, no, no. And I'm like, and I just did my set. And everything went fine, but I had to address what had just happened, so that got edited out.
Yeah,
and then they cut out the whole middle. They did a great job editing. That's how I ended up telling those jokes afterwards because I like the Comedy Central editing choices.
Oh, well, that's
anyway,
good.
The next day I had to go back just to reshoot going out to the mic, so he could, and he was there to say my name correctly. And then they had people sitting up front, just like crew. So there's the back of some heads. But I put my watch on the wrong wrist, and my hair looked way different. And my blouse, it was a blouse. It was Megan Mooney's shirt. I didn't bring a real shirt. I just had a button-up blouse that I pulled the shoulder pads out, and it looked nice. It just looked like I had a black silk shirt.
Okay.
But, yeah,
it was the 90s,
shirt.
Right?
No one can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice. It looked like it was fit for me. It looked tailored. Beautiful shirt. I look good in it. But I wanted to, while they were shooting that, I'm like, please, can I be in the audience laughing at myself? Just a quick shot of me going, and they said, that's funny. Okay, let's do it. And we were setting up to shoot it. And then the Premium Blend lady came out and said, no, we can't hold a mirror up to how the show is.
Really?
Edited. Yeah. So,
because it's such a long-held tradition of hilarious comedy sets where you make a joke about what Asian people drive like, and then you cut to an Asian
couple. You gotta zoom in on an Asian. Yeah.
Yeah. never break up that great system of the way you shoot comedy specials.
It would be, yeah. Yeah, if I racistly told a joke, and then I was like, this guy knows what I'm talking about, and then it's just me embarrassed.
No, I don't support that. You're just putting your hands up.
You're a terrible version of me. Oh, that would have been great. Thanks a lot, DL.
Whatever. I would like to go back to the part of that story about a woman that loved D.L. Hughley so much that she had to get up on stage during a television show.
What you're forgetting is he's very handsome.
No, he's definitely very handsome.
Especially during this time. And in shape. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Arms. Some in his dressing room he's putting on his dress shirt. But he's in shape, a lot of people.
You snuck into his dressing room?
I walked past it. The area holding pin for us was near his lavish, fruit-filled green room. He's a guy. He's been to the gymnasium.
Yeah.
It's just...
He's not afraid to lift a thing.
He was very nice
over and over.
And felt bad that he said my name wrong. But that's why that woman liked him. He's nice. He's apologetic.
Because he's a nice guy.
He's ripped. He's got good skin. He's got a good face.
I
got
to tell you, when you meet a guy or you even just see a guy talking who is nice and ripped,
mm-hmm.
as a woman, you have to go to him.
Yeah, it's rare that, you've got to. Because they might be a cop and they could help out.
They could be a cop.
Mm-hmm.
They could be a mirage. Whatever it is. I don't know why that last part was so loud. Mirage.
A mirage?
I almost whistled like that pigeon in cartoon. A mirage?
You almost whistled while talking like a southern wrestling coach.
You do it. You
boys.
Can do it.
You boys. Line up now, boys. I wish I could do it as good as Greg Warren. Greg Warren's got a good... He's a comic that does that. A fast-talking southern guy, and every S is a whistle. And... It's the funnest thing. Just thinking about it, I'm starting to laugh.
The best.
Greg Warren, St. Louis.
Someone else does a bit where they do... Someone we know does whistle talking.
Seriously?
I thought it was, I thought it was you.
No, I'm not good at it enough.
Seriously?
I still want... This girl recently was trying to teach me how to curl my...
Was it me?
Tongue.
Because I know how to.
Are you good? Can you...
Yeah. You just bend, you take your two index fingers on either hand.
Lower the levels. We're about to hear a rip-roaring whistle.
Two index fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you take your tongue and bend it back. You know,
okay, I can do that. I can do a lot of tongue stuff.
Back, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you take the rolled back, so it's almost like then your tongue is like a little taco, right?
Uh-huh.
You push the taco down below your tooth line.
Uh-huh.
And then... Where the whistle is coming from is the air that's between your pushed down tongue and your fingers. That? And so it's kind of forward.
Well, I'll learn it at home. Uh-huh. I think I can learn it. No one's ever, the taco, the roll, the placement of the fingers, the lowering of your tongue to your tooth line, mm-hmm. no one has mapped it out that way for me. I think I can actually do it now.
You're welcome.
I've just been sticking dirty phalanges in my mouth and blowing slobber down my wrist.
Also, I would do it with your index finger. I don't know why. I think pinkies are too. Uh-huh. Yep, keep going. Yes, quietly. Now loudly. Wait, why is your tongue all out?
I'm pressing too hard with my fingers. What is on my fingers? It's pistachios.
It tastes like salty. Nice and salty.
Remember when pistachios were dipped in pink ink?
Yes.
Boy, they stopped doing that, didn't they?
Yeah, because that's cancer causing. Oh. And also, why did they do that?
Why did they do it? Thanks for coming back to Nut Talk.
Next up. Brazil.
And next up, all the racist things that grandpas call different nuts.
Oh, no. Next up, I can't even have a walnut in my mouth or I will get a cold sore immediately.
What?
It just reminded me.
That's why they call it the herpy nut. Or grandpa did.
I ordered at this hotel I was staying at in Portland. I ordered one morning. Oh, it made me so mad. They're fuck. Okay, here's the thing. When you stay at a hotel, you are paying, if you order room service, okay, I'm now paying $40 for yogurt and coffee. Fine, I'm willing to do it because I'm at a hotel. It's convenient. How nice.
Yeah.
The place where I was staying, their room service was so not together, and they just did it wrong a bunch, and they were kind of rude, and it made me really mad. And when the so, but I was just getting Greek yogurt and their house made granola.
Right.
This house made granola was 80% full walnut, like you know, walnut brain, like half a walnut brain.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Usually, if you're putting walnuts in anything, it's diced up or like at least chopped up.
Yeah. You don't treat it. It's not a pecan.
Exactly. These things. Well, but thank God they were, because then I could take them out. But it was like I spent the entire time just taking out these huge walnuts like they were like bombs. Like, Jesus, there's another one. I feel it in my mouth. I mean, oh, my God, there's another one.
And if have you ever heard of anyone getting sore from a I mean, that's
it's there's
a reaction. Allergic. You're allergic to them.
Yeah, it's I basically am. And it's certain nuts have it's some kind of a chemical or whatever shit that's in it that I think walnuts have the most of all the nuts have this stuff. You know, sometimes if you eat a bunch of walnuts, like the inside of your mouth feels stripped almost. Like
yeah,
the skin
sure.
in your Even, mouth feels yeah. weird. It's whatever is doing that. I can't have that.
It will. There is some, I guess, is it our appendix? That's the thing that everyone says is useless. But it, at one point in our evolution, it was like a second stomach or a gizzard, apparently. And things do go there. And often it's nuts. And so my dad ate, I think it was a bag of walnuts. It was a window of time where he's single. And he's like, I don't want to make dinner. And he ate a whole bag of walnuts. And then fully just thought he had appendicitis and went... My dad, who doesn't go to the hospital ever, went to the ER, and he said, I think something burst, and it was having too many nuts. And I don't know if it went to the appendix, had anything to do with that appendix thing. I may have just, but I swear, we used to have gizzards like birds, and nuts go there.
Did you know
And
that,
rocks. There's rocks in there.
Oh, there's rocks too?
Yeah.
You have to eat rocks?
Every human, while you sleep at night, you have 7 to 8 rocks.
Oh, those are the rocks carried by the spiders that
yeah,
go
Yeah, rock
your
spiders.
Mouth? Okay.
Rock spider?
Sorry. I had a spider dream last night. You just reminded me. We were in this. I dream about my own house because I need to redo my house. Like, there's lots of things I need to fix. So often I'll have these dreams where it's, like, really, really shitty. And they'll be like, oh, God, I have to fix this. Last night in my dream, it's me and my sister. And she goes, you need to dust off this wall. And then we look up, and there's just all these. It looked like white ribbon. But then upon closer inspection, it was, like, spider nests.
Oh.
It was, because we were like, oh, let's just sweep this down. And then I was like, holy shit, it's, like, 1,000 spider nests. That's a bad dream.
I can't. I'm sorry. One at a time, I'm okay. I'll relocate you in a jar, but multiple spiders coming out, anything, pupa stage. Get the hell away from me.
Did I ever tell you about that spider that walked across my TV room floor that was so humongous I thought it was a tarantula? And it was from my house somehow? And I actually ended up catching it and taking pictures of it. Because I couldn't believe how big it was. It was, like, that big.
Really?
In my house. I'm looking at Chris, and I'm holding my finger to
imagine if someone put two ice cream sandwiches together and was about to put them in a mouth that could not accommodate.
Yeah.
3 inches.
It was a double Klondike spider.
The body, how much of that, it's so hard to gauge.
This was super long.
Oh, this spider was this big. It could have been a daddy long legs.
Which, this was not.
If you count the legs, you could be that big. But the body, I need to know the body.
The body was, the legs were definitely the longest, biggest part.
Mm-hmm.
The body was kind of small, but it wasn't a daddy long legs because the legs were thick.
Oh, yeah.
It was very upsetting.
Jeez.
And it looked like it was sneaking across the floor to just, I need to get out of here.
Any spider here's the curious thing, though. Someone I know. And you know too, but it's not part of the story. Someone had a tarantula, and it was just in a house of dudes. But that isn't even a spider to me. It was like a tiny animal, and it was crawling. And I was like, "Yeah, let him slowly crawl." And he crawled on my arm, and then they put him on my face, and he crawled. I could not even touch a spider, even if you said, that's not poisonous, but do you want to let this little spider crawl on your arm? I'd say no, but a tarantula is an animal.
Because it was so like big and thick.
And he had a face, and I'm like, he seems nice. It seems like he's smiling. Get him on me.
Reasonable.
And he crawled across my, and what people don't tell you when you're all drunk on a porch with a spider on your face is that these tarantulas like shoot out little tiny quills. Like,
no.
And he wasn't doing it on purpose. He's just keeping his grip with these, whatever does it, also embeds in your face. And I was fine that night, but the next day my eye and cheek were swollen because of spider quills. I always start a story and they don't realize it. It's pretty gross. That's why I rushed through the Severdier one.
First of all, I like gross.
Okay.
And bummer.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Me too. Yeah, that's what brought us together.
Right? Yeah. That's the fun of telling a story. Like if it's all a nice story, I'm like, sorry, why did you stop me to tell me this?
Right.
Like, what's different from that than anything else that's going on in the world?
And then they try and end it interestingly by going, and then I killed him. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You just tell boring stories.
Unearned. The murder comes in the middle. Yeah. But, yeah, I love that that's the way you learn not to put a tarantula on your face.
Yeah, I had to learn through doing it to not put a giant spider on my fucking eye.
Also, whoever owned that thing, why haven't they had the quill experience? That they could be like, oh, yeah, don't put that on your face.
It's a person that, I'll just tell you later, but it's someone that a lot of people don't like. And I think that also that spider just disappeared and they were like, where's the tarantula, man?
Uh-oh. Wait a second.
So some little girl on a seesaw. I don't know why I'm thinking of the little girl from Frankenstein. Like, she doesn't already have problems seesawing with Frankenstein. A spider crawls up on her pretty white dress.
She's seesawing, then she looks across to the seesaw, and then suddenly there's a tarantula on the other side. She gets flipped in the air.
Because the moment she sees it, she cartoonishly realizes she weighs a lot more. And so the seesaw goes,
everything's
going good. It catapults the spider. She screams. The spider goes in her mouth. And
quill, quill, quill. Now she has a cold sore.
Aristocrats.
Aristocats. Is that comedian Maria Bamford?
No.
Just kidding. Everyone adores Maria Bamford.
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
No. I'll just tell you later.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not important.
Good.
Just a house of dudes, and one of them had this giant spider. And what are they, 50? They weren't 15. Everyone's in their 30s. When I lived in Bend, Oregon, these kids had, I just moved there just to snowboard, and I didn't have a lot of money, and our neighbors had just moved there from Portland, and they were piercing each other with safety pins. They bought scorpions and tarantulas. They had black lights. They were drinking Robitussin. And I would go next door and hang out with them.
Hell yeah.
Because they weren't complete idiots. They were just like, it was their first time living outside of their parents' house.
So they're like, get everything pointy and poisonous.
They had knives. One of them had a gun. They had money. They were probably dealing drugs. But they were sweet kids. And they're like, we made too much soup. Do you want it? Like, they were nice. And I pierced one of their nipples one night. This is just dude stuff. It wasn't like, I was in my 20s. And so I thought I was way older than them.
Oh. They were teens?
They had spiders. He'd just come out and he's like, hey, what's up? And the tarantula would be... They were teens, but they're kind of, insane clown. They would go to a Juggalo convention, but they were snowboarder kids.
Got it.
They weren't all the way clown makeup, giant pants.
They were more into the music.
But we'd go, the lyric. How do batteries and magnets work, man?
Yeah.
There's a song where they talk about
it. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I've watched that video 1,000 times. A seagull stole my phone or whatever. Oh, I laughed so hard.
A seagull stole my phone is very close to one of the lyrics.
What's the lyric?
I wish so many people were here right now that would know that.
Does Aaron know it?
Yeah, it's.
Oh.
Yeah, these. I just. But they would. Yeah, black lights and these. This scorpion was horrifying. But just like. One time I got stung by a scorpion that was this big, and right now I'm making, it's an inch. I'll just say an inch. Enough of our finger.
That's stuff. That was like a That was like a one sandwich.
Was a tiny little, yeah, it's one ice cream sandwich tall. If you put the scorpion on his tail, and he, imagine him in a top hat.
Yes, please. Also imagine him running the club. For some reason, that's what I picture. He's a business owner.
Yeah,
but he'll also host
all
the
right.
show.
The fuzz is here. Lower down the gambling tables. But I was an extra in some Western, and the scorpion was in my pants all day. We were waiting in like a holding truck, and then they brought us to this air-conditioned holding area, and then we stood in the background of this terrible Western, and horses would gallop by us. But it was the whole day, and then finally the scorpion stung me while they were shooting. I was like pretending to load a wagon way off in the background, and it hurt so bad. I thought a bee was stinging me, and I'm like, should I stop? That hurts. And that got more and more intense. It was so much pain that I pulled my pants down, and I had these purple, a knot period underpants. So they said, cut. Who is that? Someone pulled their pants down. I almost got fired.
Isn't this the one where you got fired because you used the guy's...
That was later, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was later. But it hurt so bad. And then I looked at my knee and I felt like such a wuss because there was no mark. There was no aftermath. It hurt so bad. And it was a little white scorpion.
And it didn't swell up or anything?
No. I couldn't even see the dot. It hurt so bad and I couldn't even see a dot. I was the opposite of allergic. It pumped in anti-inflammatories.
Excuse me.
And
speaking of,
but it was tiny. It was tiny and it's scary. But
yes.
these guys, the kid has nipple I pierced, had a big giant black one
Gugh.
That glowed in the black light, and I would just hold it.
Couldn't it kill you?
No. And neither could the. I guess some of them can't. Actually, the tiny ones are more of a problem.
Oh,
Aaron, do you have this lyric?
Let's hear it.
I want to warn you, Karen, it will be upsetting as you are from the Bay Area.
Okay.
Okay. So the lyric goes, this is Violent J rapping. I fed a fish to a pelican at Frisco Bay. It tried to eat my cell phone. Then Shaggy 2 Dope gets involved and he says, he ran away.
He finished his story for him?
Yeah.
He could have handled
that
part.
I fed a fish to a pelican in San Francisco Bay.
He ran away.
He ran away.
Yeah, you just had to add that.
That's the magic of the universe. I don't understand how that's
no, and then it goes
fit into the rest of the
then
song.
Then it goes back to asking
how do magnets work?
Yeah,
yeah.
Degrassi Tyson questions.
Did I ever tell you the story of the guy? When I was drinking, I had a one night stand one time with a guy who was very. I'll say this about him. Very effusive. And from the second I arrived at the bar, he was like, you're the one, which never happens to me. Most of the time people are like, oh, I was scared of you for the first 2 months I met you.
But right, right.
Just, I don't know what to do about that. I can't do anything about it. I refuse to do anything
about it. It's too late.
It's too late.
It's too late to
I don't know what it is. It's my eyebrows or just I don't think anyone's funny, whatever. But this guy was just like, as if I was into it, he was acting like we were super totally getting along. It was hilarious and it killed me. It was like it was the best like defense breakdown. I just couldn't fight him at all because he was just like, yeah, all right. And he was also we were doing tons of coke anyway.
Sure
I ended up going home with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not something I did all the time. And he kept spiders. It was like this upstairs room. I could barely remember it. All I remember is walking into this room like, oh, I'm finally doing the thing that like all my friends do, whatever. I'm like, oh, this is what it is to be young and in your 20s. And we walk in and it's like a black light room with terrariums filled with spiders. And I was just like, well, either this is it or like I was like, I'm not going to leave. It was crazy.
Did you just say, could you do a quick inventory before we get to our business?
Could you make me a quick promise that you're not going to strangle me?
Spider roll call. Yeah.
And Jerry. Also, Maureen.
He just raised his poisonous tentacle. Tentacle.
Tick, tick, tick.
Were they big or small? But see, I don't like tiny. I know I keep repeating this, but I just now realized I don't mind a big giant spider.
Yeah.
Like a slow.
These weren't that.
Crawling across a road in the desert.
It was like black
little
widows.
Sombrero on.
taco in his hand.
He owns the taco truck.
He's more of an ad man, really.
If you ever see an arachnid with a hat, they own a business. That's what we've...
Just accept that. It's our theory that is now fact. It was Black Widows.
See, I mean, that's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Was he in the business of breed, like...
He was a Black Widow breeder.
Why? That's the worst spider to be interested in.
He had a kind of metal feel to him. He was a bit metal.
Okay, so he's kind of cool as shit.
So I was kind of like, oh, danger. This is exciting.
Yeah.
But then it's also not exciting to keep spiders in a glass
tube.
Did
he turn on music, and was that music heavy metal?
I can't remember anything.
Oh, that'd be good.
It was just like, here, m'lady.
Should have done more coke. Details would still be with you.
I mean.
With the brownie powder.
I can't believe I'm alive. And you know what? And I'm very grateful.
All it would take was one, and they just would go right under. Black Widows, I am not down. I'm not down with that posse.
They're not cool at all.
I'm not down with that clown.
But also just the whole, that was a thing where, you know, my instinct should have kicked in of like a person that keeps Black Widow spiders is maybe not the person to immediately be intimate with. When you don't,
right?
I don't know his first or last name.
What, your kids would be in danger? I assume you were thinking kids.
Yes.
That night.
I was there to procreate.
I hung out with Tig's babies yesterday, and they are the best.
Are they? Should we talk about that? Is this a?
Yeah, it's a. Our friend Tig has two little babies.
Well, I was just going to ask you details, but I don't know if we should do that.
Well, here's a detail I know. She has a little pad that is like you can wipe it off, and it's like a Tempur-Pedic little pad for them to play on. You lay them both down, and they're not even close to walking yet. They can kind of stand, I think, or they'll get something to help them stand. But they wrestle to where they're like trying to pin each other. They wrestle and laugh, and they like pin each other down and get on each other and then look up for approval. They just wrestle.
They're twins?
They're fraternal twins, yeah.
Oh.
I'll show you pictures. I got to feed one of them. I think his name was... we don't have to talk names. I am protective, too. I don't want to reveal too much about people's babies.
I don't know how much... Sometimes people don't say anything.
Tig has babies, like, and they are the best. And man, I was just like, shit, am I supposed to have these right now? I mean, you can like babies and not have them. You can have a whole life, a fulfilling life of like, I love kids.
Yep.
I love babies. Did you ever have one? No. It's not anyone's right to go then. What's wrong with you?
No. Well, that's just,
can't even
that's
keep
very
my room
like,
clean.
Talk about the depressing 30s. That's such an old concept of like, first of all, the planet is so overpopulated.
Right.
It's horribly overpopulated.
Right.
The idea that you are supposed to have children is inane.
Yeah.
And insane.
Yeah.
Please only do it if you are good at it.
Right.
And you are patient and you have money and you are not going to hurt
And the last on that list is if you like kids. That's all I figured out is I like kids and they like me.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
That's great.
That's why it was fun. Both these guys were like, he's fun.
Yes.
And they were like, crawl. Like,
now,
babies
do you think
win buttons?
5-6 hours later, do you think you would have been in the same mood?
Right. No, yeah.
You've lost patience.
Just when the diarrhea and food, and I just don't know what to do, and I'm like a Michael Keaton movie poster holding an iron. And I'm, but it's the funniest thing about kids is tactilely. They just were like anything that was a button, I laid on the ground, and they were like, both these babies just were like going to town on my buttons. If someone just walked into the room, it just looked like two babies were trying to undress a grown man. They're like, what's in these pants? Let's get that. And I'm like, nope, don't do that. But it was so funny and made me nervous to be undressed by two brand new babies that I just was laughing. Anyway, I got pictures. So really funny. The mom took the picture.
There were other people in the room. This wasn't just your experience.
It was a seminar.
Good, good, good. Everybody was watching.
It was a baby button seminar. Buttoning seminar. Babies be buttoning, it was called. First annual.
Tony Robbins was like, this is the way.
And then all the babies started.
Be the button that your baby unbuttons in the world.
And then, except there'd be three F-bombs in that statement.
He fucking doesn't care.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a shit.
He's a foul mouth. He's not the man I thought he was.
You mean a huge giant with huge teeth?
Ho, ho, ho. Mm-hmm. He's a giant.
He really is. Very large man.
Yeah.
What did he do before he was?
He's a big fan of Bob Newhart.
Tony Robbins?
I'm into now my new, not fetish, but thing is big, strong, dominant males that love the comedy of 88-year-old Bob Newhart.
Yes.
That's my new jam.
Alpha Newhart heads? Yeah. Like that.
It'll catch on.
That's
on.
The whole front row of the next Bob Newhart stand-up special.
Just MMA affliction shirts. They're like juicing and lifting in the front row while he's doing one side of a telephone call.
And he's like,
sir, what are you?
You there.
Well, he also was talking about, which I have experienced, he said the new crowd now, it's like, the attention span is shorter and you can't have the same slow build. And he was talking about compressing his jokes and having it be more punchline-y. And it was so interesting to hear this 88-year-old man talk about his stand-up and how it had to evolve with...
Over 55 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So crazy.
It is actually funny. I forgot about Newhart. Like, I forgot that he was a television icon for 40 years.
And I forgot about this album, the Button Down Mine. This album was like millions of copies.
Yeah.
When they were expecting 20,000 or something.
Wasn't he one of the first people to make a comedy album?
I think so, certainly a top-selling one that was, like I said, only beat by Appetite for Destruction 1 and then 2. Really, that was the record. That huge Guns N' Roses double album release was what broke the Bob Newhart record. Isn't that insane?
And isn't that America?
There has to be more to it because there's no way Michael Jackson thrilled. I don't know.
Well, and maybe it's just some specialized thing or...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a record label specifically or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Michael Jackson, man.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's been up there a couple times. Janet's been up there.
At least it went to a friend.
Oh, that's such
God,
a good joke.
I love him.
Also, he's the only one that can, like, we can't make jokes like that. Like, he's smart enough to know how to play who he is.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is so rare. That's self-awareness.
I'm going to watch old Bob Newhart. I'm really plugging Bob heavy.
Good.
Yeah. I don't have anything of my own to plug, do you? I guess we could wrap it up here.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. Time got away from us.
I really could not put together how much time that was as I looked over. I was like, oh, my God.
Is that some sort of a military countdown? We don't have a lot of oxygen left.
It's the final countdown.
Should I do more sound effects?
Yes.
I'm a robot.
I meant in your act. Not now.
I thought you meant right this second. Helicopter.
Wait, you should.
Well, at the end, I always spit of all my sounds.
So does Michael Winslow, though. He says that that's a huge issue for him.
He just has, like, Flavor Flav, but it's a funnel under his chin instead of a clock.
All of his shirts are made of paper towels.
Oh, Winslow. Sweet chariot.
Guys, we've done Do You Need a Ride Again?
Yeah. We'll do it again.
Yep.
Monthly. What do you say?
Bi-weekly.
Buy it. Every week.
We're going to come back and do more Bob Newhart bits. However long it takes to memorize the button-down mind of Bob Newhart, we come back and reenact.
I'm going to come back and reenact the other side of those calls when we come back.
Yes, I can hear you clearly. It's God. or whoever.
It's usually God or Abe Lincoln, right? All right.
All right.
Well, good to see you again.
I love you.
I love you, too. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N.
A-R.
Honk, honk.
I forgot.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.